want to do. America, a shout out to the men in uniforms that protect and serve this country from sea to shining sea, from one white boy to all nationalities. We got to stand together, people.
You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
It's time now for the Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or at WBOboxing.com. Take it away, Taco Man.
WBO interim 130-pound champion Miguel Burchelt, of course, 29-1, 26 kills, retained the belt tonight with a fourth-round KO over number two-ranked Chonglom Pirapino. This is a horrible name. It's from Chinese. I'm sorry. 61. No, I'm sorry. Chinese are going to get mad at me out there. Johnny Taco can't do some of these Chinese names. I mean, even if I practice them in advance, and I do them like phonetically, blah, 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 and sometimes they just don't come out. Anyway, we'll just say that this Chinese fighter lost on Saturday night. Of course, that was in La Paz, Mexico, straight up in round number four. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live. This isn't Ring Talk Live Worldwide because I host Ring Talk Live Worldwide Saturdays and Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And the man that hosts No Holds Bar is on the line. Of course, he's my co-host here, of course, from the backseat of his Pontiac Ferrero down there in Southern California, Zach Attack Young. And, Zach, there were fights on TV tonight, and the heavyweight championship of the world, or at least a portion of it, was defended in the Mecca of boxing, Madison Square Garden, right?
Not exactly Madison Square Garden.
Wait, hold on. Yankee Stadium, right?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham. Okay, go on. Is that the new hotbed of boxing? Is that it?
Yeah, the new hotbed, the new mecca of boxing, Birmingham, Alabama. Deontay Wilder was victorious after eight rounds. He dropped Ariel in the fourth round and retained his WBC championship belt. But Wilder actually, he tore his right bicep and broke his right hand in the fight. So he managed to stop Ariola with his left hand, so that makes it actually a bit more impressive than just beating him normally.
Oh, come on. The guy was a 35-1 underdog. I mean, come on. He was like Buster Douglas.
No, you're correct. I'm saying, but the fact that Deontay Wilder, with his, the wild punches he throws, he managed to injure himself in the fight and still was able to beat the guy with the weaker hand. So that's the way that he sort of salvaged it for himself, even though it wasn't intentional.
Torn biceps are a hint of Flintstone vitamins.
Yeah, I've heard that before. And
how often do you hear of guys, sorry, I started to talk over you, but how often do you hear of guys tearing biceps and not having steroids, Flintstone vitamins involved?
It's pretty rare. And, Deontay Wilder, he's in better shape than most heavyweight fighters. So if he were to get popped for that, you wouldn't be exactly surprised, I suppose, because most heavyweights these days are not exactly in the best shape.
Well, that's because you don't have to make weight. And, of course, he was the 2008 Olympic bronze medalist out of Mobile, Alabama, now fighting out of Birmingham, Alabama. Oh, boy, I can't wait to go to Birmingham and watch a heavyweight title fight. But Deontay Wilder now 37-0. 36 KOs. The bottom line is 37-0, but what do you think he is, like 5-0 over real people?
Yeah, I'd say something like that. I mean, but he is knocking these guys out, and he did stop Ariola, like, legitimately, which he stopped him, I think, more convincingly than Vitaly Klitschko, although you have to say Vitaly Klitschko fought the better version of Ariola, most likely. I don't know. I still think it's a solid win for Wilder. And considering the circumstances with Povetkin actually popping for steroids,
Time out. Now he's been cleared.
Well, they say he's been cleared. The Russian Federation say he's been cleared, but I'm not so sure about that. I don't know about you.
Are you trying to tell me you can't trust the Ruskies? Come on. Just because their whole entire team is banned from the Olympics?
Yeah, and that thing that happened with Fedor a couple of weeks ago where...
Explain that. This is radio, Zach. Don't throw that out there in front of somebody and don't explain. You got to explain it. Go on.
Of course. Well, this is the explanation. I mean, Fedor basically was knocked out in the first round of a fight and was beaten until he was woken up by Fabio Maldonado in Russia. And Fedor actually, has a certain controlling interest in the Russian Athletic Commission. So the fight was able to go on, and when it went to the cards, it ended up being a win for Fedor in a fight that a lot of people thought that he lost.
And I think they've called that either a no contest or a draw now, right?
Yeah, well, they haven't completely overturned it. So, yeah, it's right now considered a no contest, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Unbeaten WBO lightweight champion, 135-pound champion, Terry Flanagan, who appeared to approve the 31-0 with 12 knockouts, scored a 12-round unanimous nod over 42-year-old former world title challenger Monzink Fano, South Africa, now 38-10, 16 KOs. That was the Ice Arena in Wales. That was in Cardiff. And, of course, Guillermo Rigondeaux. Pretty good fighter, folks. I mean, this guy can, he can crack. Two-time Olympian, two-time Olympic gold medalist. I mean, I told you, Zach, I told you a story how he defected to Brazil the first time, and then he ate all that money and was banging all those hookers down there in Brazil and running up all kinds of bills in the hotel, and his sponsors couldn't get the money to him in time, and they sent him back to Cuba.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. He has kind of an interesting past. You know, he melted his gold medals down and turned them into that, like, gold grill that he wears, right?
Yeah, I know. He's amazing. Of course, he's now 17-0, 11 KOs, retained that title away, WBA super bantamweight title, of course, 122-pound champion over Jazza Dickens, now 22-2, 7 KOs. That was at the Ice Arena in Wales as well. Now, I got to ask you this because, you know, we were all jazzed up last week. Dominic was all jazzed up about it. I was jazzed up about it. I mean, the heavyweight division in the world of MMA and the UFC was looking good because Brock Lesnar was back and Cain Velasquez was back. And the first thing, I'm going to throw this first question to Dominic. Cadwallader, were you surprised? I mean, was this a stretch that Brock Lesnar could test positive for Flintstone vitamins, a performance-enhancing drug? What I mean is steroids?
I want to say no, just because I know how stringent WWE's wellness, all that stuff is. They're even willing to take down their biggest guy at the moment with Roman Reigns. But when you look like Brock Lesnar and you move like Brock Lesnar and you're in your late 30s, you kind of have to wonder. And clearly all of that wondering and doubt in people's minds kind of came true with that potential, as they worded it, positive test.
Okay, Cadwallader, a man that's traveled all around the world. Can you imagine a more intimidating 39-year-old man on the entire planet than him?
Maybe Herschel Walker right now?
No, hell no.
I think that's got to be about it.
I think he'd eat Herschel Walker alive. I watched Herschel Walker work out before, and I watched him do his MMA thing, and I wasn't all impressed. Of course, Brock Lesnar, former national champion. Now he's tested positive, and this is on the heels, Zach, of John Jones testing positive a few days before, and now the UFC's been sold. I mean, is this like perfect timing for Dana White and those guys, or what?
Yeah, it almost makes you wonder. I always had my eyebrow raised when they gave him, like, the, you know, they kind of like did that thing where normally they do like 4 months of testing, and they didn't do that for Brock Lesnar. They didn't do the 4 months like waiting period, and I was already kind of thinking, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, you know, he's been out of the sport for years. You would think that there would be some type of history that they could have had of like testing him and seeing how he was. But when I saw that, I don't know, I already kind of suspected something, and now this kind of confirms the suspicions.
But, you know, I'm not a big Brock Lesnar fan, but I sort of became a fan last week because, you know, he beat Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt's no joke, no doubt about it. Mark Hunt can punch. Mark Hunt never really caught him on the chin, I think, with anything really super, super flush to test that chin of Brock Lesnar's. But, you know, Brock controlled the fight for the most part. Brock deserved to win. Brock won. And now Brock comes back on steroids. And, Dominic, I got to throw this one at you because, you know, you're a WWE guy per se. And, you know, this was supposed to be proving that a WWE guy could fight in the world of real fighting. And now he tends to positive for steroids. This makes the WWE look bad.
Yeah, in just the span of a week, we've gone from, wow, you know, Vince McMahon's got to be really happy. His golden boy, Brock Lesnar, crossed back over and defeated a top 10 heavyweight in the cage. And I think it's safe to say he beat him rather handily, too. Like you said, Mark Hunt got one good lick on Lesnar, and it was kind of to the top of his head. And now here we are, a week later, and all of a sudden, that victory is, I think it's fair to say, is tainted in a way. Mark Hunt is like, yeah, you know, that's fine. I want half of his money. And all of a sudden, all the questions, oh, is Brock going to get a second fight? Are they going to let him fight again? That's kind of in doubt. And WWE, now they have an awkward situation where they were already kind of just mentioned Roman Reigns. They were kind of already dealing with their top guy being suspended for performance enhancers. And now your other top guy, granted he's only part-time, he got tested positive, but he never popped up on any of WWE's radar screenings. So now they're in a really bad spot. Now, potentially at their next pay-per-view, they're going to have two guys – Reigns coming off his suspension, and Lesnar, who knows what his future is going to be in the short term. Obviously, I'm sure he's going to be part of their long-term plans, but short term, does he get suspended because he tested outside of their testing policy or what? It's going to cause huge waves across the WWE for sure.
I'm going to ask you both this question, Zach first. Zach, you know, I had Dr. Mark Leno on our show, No Holds Barred, the wrestling expert, the guy that's been like him and Dave Meltzer, like A and B when it comes to our A and A. 1A and 1B as far as wrestling geniuses are concerned. But he said that he thinks that guys that perform in wrestling matches should be tested for steroids, even though there's really, you know, that's all prescripted and guys aren't supposed to get hurt and that kind of good stuff. Do you think that they should test wrestlers for steroids?
I think that they should, just because you've seen, like, the negative effects of steroids over the years in wrestling. I mean, it's been a real issue for the sport. And I don't know, I mean, at the end of the day, there is still, like, that threat of people being hurt. And there's always, like, you know, the stereotype about roid rage. Like, you never know when that is going to kick in and when it becomes too real and not an act anymore.
Dominic, remember when I did that special on Chris Benoit? Of course, the steroids that were in his system, like, he had 400 times as much testosterone in his system as he should have. I mean, it was just incredibly crazy. And he was taking, like, 4 or 5 times as much of painkillers as he should have. And of course, he killed himself, he killed his wife, and he killed his kid. But man, I'll ask you the same question after prefacing with that. Should guys in wrestling be tested for steroids?
You know, I'd say hands down. You actually, as Zach was answering, I was Chris Benoit. When you Zach mentioned what could happen as a result of steroids, the first people that came to mind were Chris Benoit and the way what happened with him, where he killed his family and himself. And I also thought of a guy like Eddie Guerrero, who died of an enlarged heart because of years of taking steroids.
The cocaine helped.
It helped, but it was still a contributing factor. So the way that sports and entertainment in the world is now, they got to look after these athletes' long-term projections too. So not only are they taking care of a guy potentially not getting injured in the ring just because a guy is, you know, moving quicker or stronger or whatever, he's putting his performing partner, the guy he's wrestling, at risk. And they're also taking a look at their long term, making sure that these guys stay healthy. And we don't have what happened, you know, that I think it was WrestleMania 3 or something like that, where 70% of the guys have passed and we're only 30 years removed. So WWE, they have a lot of work to do still, but I absolutely do think wrestlers need to be tested.
Before we wrap this up, Terrence Crawford defends the WBO Junior Welterweight title against the undefeated Victor Postal. Take that back, the once-beaten Victor Postal. Crawford undefeated out of Omaha, Nebraska. That's next Saturday, July 23rd, only on HBO pay-per-view, live from Las Vegas. You are tuned to the WBO Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can check out the WBO on Facebook or go to their website, wboboxing.com. This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.